Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live from our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard. Ahead of Nats baseball tonight. 2 hours and 40 minutes away from first pitch. We're Grant and Danny on your flagship home for the Caps and the Nats. 106.7 The Fan, brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad.
Elder law, estate planning, anything you need under the sun that can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Tyler Dunn covers the NFL and does really good, deep journalism. He talks to people and then gets to the bottom of what makes different folks in football tick, and I like his reads, golongtd.com. And he joins us now to discuss a recent piece he did on Cliff Kingsbury here in the nation's capital. Tyler, it's Grant and Danny. Thank you for the time. How are you?
Grant, Danny, what a pleasure to be here, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Well, you got it, buddy. Appreciate you. Why don't we start with what piqued your interest? Why, there's a lot of coordinators, a lot of people around the league worth diving into right now. Why Cliffy?
You know what probably grinds my gears as much as anything, right? To quote Peter Griffin here, it's like when perception just kind of overwhelms reality, and a take can kind of get spun within the ecosystem in which we all inhibit, right? And then we just kind of accept it as fact. And I feel like that kind of happened to Cliff Kingsbury, where it starts great, those two seasons in Arizona, 10-2 and 6-0, and everything's hunky dory, and Kyler Murray looks like an MVP candidate, and then it all kind of falls apart. He inevitably, like all head coaches do, falls on the sword, and we all kind of assume, well, this is a coach with an offense, a defensive figure out, not suited to be a head man. And off to Thailand he goes. He's not taking coordinator interviews, and he pops up at USC, and then he pops up there with the Washington Commanders. And I think when all this is kind of going down, I was just thinking about it this week because it's football in June, and we all kind of read into it too much, and I didn't really want to look at clips on X and write a story on any of those. The Deebo Samuel stuff was insane, by the way. We can talk about that later if you want. I mean, my God. He's running Versailles. Who cares? But I'm just thinking about Cliff, and my mind went back to a conversation I had with somebody who knows him best, Nick Schimonick, a quarterback at Texas Tech. He was Mahomes' back, and he became the starter. And this is way back in 2020 when we talked, and he's just like, man, Cliff is somebody who shows up at 3:30 a.m., gets a workout in, watches film, goes to meeting, watches more films, goes to meeting, and then watches more film. And it's insane what he's digging into. He watched every single play of the prior NFL season. This is when he's at Tech. He's looking back at clips from frickin' Bowling Green, any college he can, any way to get an advantage. And I'm just thinking, man, this is somebody that's a little more old school than anybody thinks. I get it. He's got the good looks, the 2020 COVID draft room with the fireplace outside. All that stuff kind of gets us thinking about him a certain way. He's more of a grinder than anybody knows, and I feel like it really showed last year with Jane Daniels.
Yeah, Tyler, to that point, and that may be the answer to the question, but what do you think the biggest public conception is about Cliff Kingsbury. Is it based on that, the fireside draft chat, or is it, you know, just in general about the guy, the good head of hair, the handsome face, the baritone voice? Like, what's the big misconception out there that you've now kind of debunked?
I think the misconception is that his offense, his way of doing things is bound to just blow up in flames, and he doesn't have a counterpunch. I think that because, I mean, look, it was ugly at the end in Arizona. You can't dispute that. But to just put all the blame on the coach, the one with the X's and O's, I think is generalized. And he had a quarterback in Kyler Murray who's unbelievably talented, does a lot of things nobody else can. But let's be real. I mean, they had to put a homework clause in his contract to get him to watch film. You know, you got a head coach who's watching films all hours of the day, and a quarterback who I guess would rather play video games than put in that extra time. I mean, Jane Daniels is wired more like Cliff than Kyler Murray is, than even a Caleb Williams is, another quarterback that he's had. I've heard unsavory things about him when it comes to film. And I feel like that's the misconception, is that this guy's got an offense that is going to get figured out, and it just doesn't fly in the NFL. And I think it's the exact opposite. I look at him like a McVay, like a Shanahan, like some of the best offensive minds in the sport who can have that counterpunch. He just has to get with the right quarterback. I feel like that's been the case all along. He did this stuff with Mahomes, who's the best quarterback in the sport. I feel like all along he's been somebody with a deep, deep, deep Rolodex of contacts throughout the league and a deep, deep, deep well of plays to dip into. And I think that now he just has the quarterback to kind of maximize his own football brain. And that probably matters as much as anything in the NFL. That combination of offensive play caller and quarterback, some teams have it, some teams don't. And if you can kind of marry that up, you'll be competing for Super Bowls year in and year out.
Read Tyler Nunn's piece on Cliff Kingsbury. It's really good. Cliff Kingsbury's magic touch and the separation of reality and perception. You know, it's funny because one of the things I was going to ask you in this conversation, based on something you touched on early in the piece, you've kind of brushed past here, which is it almost feels to me like, having now seen him operate from up close and personal for a year, that some of the stuff we always say helps coaches, like, you know, looking like they're straight out of Central Casting, being handsome, the well-manicured beard, the fact that he's on the cover of GQ, NFL Coaching Edition or whatever, it kind of backfires on him. Because there is this perception like he's Hollywood, and you said it. I mean, the fire on a 100-degree day in Arizona on draft day didn't help. But, I mean, this dude is at the facility at, like, 3:56 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know that he's viewed that way.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of central to, like, the whole point I'm trying to make here is, like, we just get thinking about coaches and players a certain way. And then Field can kind of, like, quote-unquote, air quote, justify it in our brains. And that's kind of what happened to Cliff. I mean, it didn't end well on the field for him. But it's not because he's, like, this finesse head coach, not putting in the time. It's the exact opposite. It is similar in a way to, the most extreme example would be, like, Bill Belichick. Just go back and read some of the stories about him, and it's hilarious. There's an article I found where he was referred to by a writer. It's like, was it a Beavis and Belichick? I mean, this guy was a dunce, adult, described as somebody you just don't want to be around, whether you're a coach or a player. And Ed Leroy Horde, he was a Browns running back at that time on my podcast, and he's like, man, before every game, Bill is pointing out a player on the other team and giving us a tendency, a tell, some kind of secret that's going to help us in that game, every single player. And it's the kind of stuff that once he gets to New England, once he gets with Tom Brady, things just take off. And he's the greatest coach of all time with the greatest quarterback of all time. And again, that union was something special. So I don't know. I just we need to hit the brakes and not rush to conclusions about any coach, any quarterback, anybody in the sport, because that second go-around, that second chance, I mean, great things can happen. Look at Dan Quinn. I mean, granted, he did take a team to the Super Bowl. We tend to forget that. But it's kind of nuts that this guy was even on the street at any point. I mean, talking to his assistants and players,
He's one of the five, maybe one of the three best head coaches in football for a million different reasons. So, you know, it's okay to hire somebody who, quote unquote, you know, failed somewhere else. That experience can be used for good, and maybe everything you think about that coach was dead wrong.
So, Tyler, and it's a great point. Let me just share this, and I want to get your reaction. So last year, while the season was going on, we talked a lot about the cliff, right? Which is, you know, towards at certain points in seasons in Arizona, Texas Tech, second half of years, whatever, the offense wasn't the same once there was enough tape available. And we were pointing to certain tendencies. For example, Terry McLaurin only lining up in one spot back in the day in Arizona, DeAndre Hopkins in one spot, et cetera. And we're going through this stretch where the offense isn't as good. And I'm sitting there going, someone's got to do something. And then adjustments were made. And that kind of wasn't what you associated over the years with Kingsbury, right? It was like, this is the way we do it. We're just going to run tempo, run whatever it is into the ground. And he did make changes. He put McLaurin in motion and kind of changed the way they operated. And the offense business picked right back up again as the second half of the season went on. And so that, to me, was a real telltale sign of growth in Kingsbury. Just your thoughts there.
No, that's exactly the point, you know, and I'm not breaking down the film as closely as you are, but that's kind of everything that, you know, players at Texas Tech said. I talked with them back in 2019 and 2020, brought to life in the pros, that this is somebody who is thinking two, three steps ahead. And I guess it's a tough balance because, I mean, you don't want to get to the playoffs and completely change who you are as a team, as an offense. You know, I think that maybe that some teams can kind of get trapped into that and think, oh, it's a different kind of football. Everybody has seen our film. We've got to completely change who we are and throw a counterpunch when, well, you got there for a certain reason. And I'm not sure what that fine line is, but they figured something out, at least until they ran into that buzzsaw that is the Philadelphia Eagles, where you've got Jane Daniels, you've got something that no other team possesses. I mean, God, 0-60. Point A to point B. There's not a faster, more athletic, more dangerous weapon at the quarterback position in the entire NFL. So it's not like you want him to turn into somebody else. But you do have to have a subtle tweak here and there, and just the way you use a Terry McLaurin. And that makes all the sense in the world. And I'm sure with these 5, 6, 7 months they've had over the offseason, they're going to figure something out. They've got a lot of smart people on that coaching staff, by the way. It's such an interesting group. I covered Joe Witt when he was in Green Bay as a cornerbacks coach. And way back then, like 2011, 2012, you could tell he was going to be a coordinator one day. I mean, he's getting just the absolute most out of an undrafted rookie in Sam Shields to a Hall of Famer like Charles Woodson. And you can see how guys feed off his energy. It was only a matter of time before, you know, some light bulbs went off on that defensive side of the ball. And I'd be shocked if they didn't keep ascending over on the defense with Joe Witt.
Tyler Dunn is with us on Grant and Danny. I was surprised that Kingsbury didn't take more interviews for head coaching jobs this offseason. He did interview in a couple of places, and it sounds like decided before even New Orleans made a decision. He didn't want that job. He's staying in Washington. How hard is it going to be to keep him moving forward, do you think? And what do you think is his interest in being a coach again?
Man, that is such an excellent question because, you know, why would you just jump at a New Orleans job if you're Cliff Kingsbury, right? Like, these jobs open up usually because the situation is just absolute garbage. And I don't know. I wouldn't want to be the head coach of the New Orleans Saints right now. This is a team that's been tricking itself into being a Super Bowl contender in perpetuity, and they've got no plan at quarterback. You didn't even know what was going to happen with Derek Carr. Either way, it's probably not going to be a good outcome when that position was opened up. I was shocked that Kellen Moore took it. Like, he's another one that could just kind of hit pause, wait a year, wait for that perfect opportunity to come up, and your stock's not going anywhere. The Eagles' offense is going to be dynamite again, you would assume. And I feel like that's what Cliff Kingsbury's doing here, is there's no rush to just dive into what could be a really bad situation. And, you know, I think he probably has stories to share, right, about ownership. Some way, somehow, as folks there know, bad owners can create bad teams. It's pretty awful with the Arizona Cardinals. It's pretty awful in a lot of different spots. It's pretty damn good with the Washington Commanders right now. They've got a good thing cooking. So I wouldn't be in a rush to leave that team, that head coach, that quarterback, unless it is the absolute perfect destination. Who is that going to be? Every year there's one or two jobs that open up that are like, oh, I mean, that's a Super Bowl contender, right? That team that just can't get over the hump. Maybe the owner
tries to challenge his team to get better, and you can walk into a situation with a top 10 quarterback, a ready-made roster. I mean, in that case, yeah, you take that job. And, you know, Ben Johnson's been trying to pick and choose his spot. He's the last guy that was kind of in this pole position. It feels like Cliff Kingsbury will be in that pole position, barring, you know, disaster. He'll be able to pick any team he wants next year. And who knows if he wants it, right? Like, maybe he wants to just chill as a coordinator for a while and enjoy life.
What did the time in Thailand and then at USC kind of do for him as a coach, respectively, in your mind?
God, I would love to know. I'm planning to get down there to Commanders training camp this summer and hopefully talk to Cliff Kingsbury about that all. Because just like you, I'm fascinated to know, like, what is going through your mind when, right, you're kind of made the scapegoat, you get let go, and you just buy that one-way ticket to Thailand, you get the hell out of town, and you tell teams, I'm not taking any calls this year. In some form or fashion, I have to think that reset was just good for his mind, body, and soul to get the hell out of the pressure cooker and take a step back. And, you know, at USC, he's around Caleb Williams, and there's a lot of good there, and you could probably have some fun devising some schemes and some plays, but I don't know. I mean, I don't see Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, like, on the same planet at this point. And I think he knew what he was getting into there with Washington versus, you know, getting in there with Chicago with Caleb Williams.
In addition to some of the pieces you write about folks like Kingsbury around the NFL, Tyler, I know you spent so much of your time covering the Buffalo Bills. Is Buffalo in the same kind of class right now as Baltimore, where in the AFC, the Chiefs have had the stranglehold, but these teams that have been kicking at the door, just kind of hanging around, at some point they're trying to break through, going with the bite at the apple philosophy, so to speak. Is there a reason this year could be different for the Bills, for the Ravens, for anybody else like the Bengals to try to break through?
It was a really fascinating offseason for the Bills because when they lost again to the Chiefs, to Mahomes again, I mean, the numbers are gory when you really look at the Bills' performance. Three playoff losses, or the four to the Chiefs with the one to Burrow. It's unbelievable. I think there's like 40 non-kneel down drives, and they've allowed 22 touchdowns, 9 field goals created, 1 or 2 turnovers. It's awful. So there's part of me that's thinking, okay, is Brandon Bean going to look at this and say, good Lord, we can't stop anybody. Let's just add more weapons. Let's just draft weapons. Let's try to win 45-38. And he didn't do that at all, really. I mean, they went into the draft and drafted, what, defensive players with their first 5 picks, starting with Maxwell Harrison, trying to get a smaller corner who can maybe stick with those Chiefs receivers on those crossers. And they load up on the D-line, T.J. Sanders in the second, Joey Bosa, Larry Okunjobi, Michael Hoyton for agency. And that, you know, I sat down with Bean to talk about this in a one-on-one if people want to check it out. And he kind of convinced me. I mean, it makes sense. You have to at least try, right? You have to at least give Sean McDermott and his defensive staff a ton of new toys to play with, something different that time of the year, because the offense is not the reason they're losing these playoff games. At some point, the offense has to not be perfect and still win a game in the playoffs because the defense is in a total calamity. So I think they've got so many new pieces on that side of the ball, and it can't get any worse against Mahomes in the playoffs, that maybe this is year you get a different outcome if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Tyler, great with us, man. It's a great piece on Kingsbury. I really appreciate the time, dude. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you guys as well. Thanks so much for having me on.
You got it. Tyler Dunn on Grant and Danny. Go read the piece on Cliff Kingsbury. It was outstanding. Really well done by him. And he's right. I mean, we had our reservations. I go back to the hiring and my concerns and nervousness about him. Now, the next concern is he was so good that you lose him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of swung the other direction. And what a difference a year makes for him. You know, he almost went to the Raiders. People forget, but he was agreeing to be the Raiders offensive coordinator. That falls through, and he comes to D.C., however that played out. Thank God for him. I mean, that coaching staff with the Raiders has been fired. They've got a new coaching staff there. He'd be basically in his third organization in as many seasons in the league. What a disaster. Yeah. Instead, you hit the lottery. You come here, Jaden Daniels is the real deal, and you're on the fast track to being a head coach.
Yeah, keeping the whole offensive staff intact pretty much. Just unheard of when you win 12 games. I mean, usually you get turnover, you win 8. When, you know what I mean? Like, that's just the normal run of things. The fact that they didn't really lose anybody is unbelievable.
I want to get into Andrew Hawkins of ESPN's NFL coverage, saying Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC right now. But we will give you an abbreviated blitz next as well. We owe you that. Daniel Murphy, former Nats great, is stopping by the show at 5 o'clock. Have not talked to him in years. He's going to be at the park this weekend as part of their celebration of 20 years of Nats baseball. You're listening to The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. We'll get into Andrew Hawkins claiming that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC coming up in just a bit. But Tyler Dunn joined us to start the hour, so we didn't get a chance to give you a Beltway Blitz. So we'll breeze through a few of the big items on the sports calendar today. Your abbreviated Beltway Blitz starts now with the NBA Finals. Danny, tonight's the night for Game 4. Oklahoma City Thunder trying to get even with the Indiana Pacers. Indiana up 2-1, still the pretty substantial underdogs in this series, oddly. As far as tonight goes, last check, the Thunder were 6-point favorites. Remember, they were 11-point favorites at home after a loss in Game 2, which they won. 6-point favorites tonight on the road after a loss to the Pacers.
And you can see what the Pacers are doing. Rick Carlisle's really good at this. That's the whole basketball coaching thing. They are trying to do what teams did to Luka Doncic and company with the Dallas Mavericks all the way through. You could see it in the finals last year. They're trying to make Shai Gilgeous-Alexander play defense. Whoever's got the ball tends to be the guy. So sometimes that doesn't mean Tyrese Halliburton. Now, they also designed more looks for Halliburton to get going in the offense and the like. Mathurin was so instrumental off the bench with 27. I believe a team high 27 in game number 3. Maybe not something you count on, but they're trying to make Gilgeous-Alexander worn out so that some of those fourth quarter plays, those hard shots that he's got to work for, those end of shot clock buckets or the one-on-one times come up a little bit short. You saw that effective in 2 of the 3 games in this series. Indiana has a good plan. The counter is TBD, right? What does Oklahoma City do? They responded incredibly well in game 2, start to finish with a better team. I expect something similar tonight. You know, Indiana's going to be frisky. They're not going anywhere, but I think the Thunder win this one to extend this series.
So my observation from game 3 was that it felt like the Thunder struggled down the stretch to finish that game. It was right there for them. They led going into the fourth quarter. It was tight. Then the Pacers went on their run, and I thought Oklahoma City had a bunch of chances, if they executed, to just get back over the hump, and they couldn't.
Yep.
And when you look at the numbers, it's actually kind of telling that they didn't play a lot of close basketball games this year.
Yep.
They might not be that good in that situation. The Pacers are way better equipped. How many times has Tyrese Halliburton hit the big shot? How many times has that team come back from the late deficit in a minute or two to go that they shouldn't have this postseason? They played those games all year long. If you look at the Thunder, we've talked about their average scoring margin of 12.9, mm-hmm. which was NBA historical, one of the best we've ever seen at any level. 60 victories by 10 or more points for them this year. I'm going to say that again. They won 60 games by double-digit points this season. So when you look at actual games that are close late, so within 5 points in the final 5 minutes of the game, they were 16-8 this year, which is not problematic, a 2-to-1 ratio wins to loss, but nobody played that few a number of games in that sequence. Only 24 games where the game was decided in the final 5 minutes within 5 points. They just don't have the experience. So if they get into that situation again, Danny, when it's coming down the stretch, they're going to have to play a lot better. The Pacers on the other side, you look at comebacks and late game situations, 9-1 in the playoffs in the clutch, 24-14 during the season. The clutch, of course, final 5 minutes, 5 points or less. They've won 90% of their games in these playoffs.
Yeah.
So that is one area where if it's a couple of point game with 2 minutes to go, the Pacers might actually have an advantage.
Yeah, and this is their MO. They are going to wear you down. They come at you in waves. They use the entirety of the bench, guys like Obi Toppin and Mathurin, who we mentioned, and Shepard. And T.J. McConnell was great in the fourth quarter the other night. That's the game plan. That's what they're doing. So, you know, you may knock them around for three quarters, but if they're within striking distance in the fourth, watch out for that formula because it's worked.
The other area to look at, I think, is bench scoring. In game one, the Pacers reserves got the better of the Thunder, 39-28. It was close, but they won the game. And then in game two, the Thunder bounced right back, and they...
Caruso was huge.
Manhandled him, yeah. Caruso was really good, but it was 48-34 plus 14. They win that game. Game three, not surprisingly, back to the Pacers. Guess what? You look at bench scoring, 49-18. I mean, they poured it on. They dominated in that way. Oklahoma City starters in this series have outscored the Pacers starters by 24 points. 246-222. The bench, the Pacers up 112-94 plus 18 is why they have a 2-1 series lead. So if you're a Thunder fan and you're wondering, how am I down 2-1? What is happening here? There's a 31-point scoring edge in game three from a bench standpoint. Nembhard, Nesmith, foul trouble, Miles Turner. He's had the cold or the flu or whatever that was. So what did that mean? It meant Benedict Mathurin's got to step up. 27 points in 22 minutes. T.J. McConnell, double-digit points, 5 assists, 5 steals, 15 minutes. I don't think that's going to happen every game, but you can't let it happen. That's how you lose, when those guys play above their head a little bit. The NBA Finals tonight, Game 4, Thunder, 6-point favorites. Let's keep the Blitz moving.
Nets, Marlins tonight, 6:45 at the friendly confines of Nats Park, right down the street from where we are at. GP, this group could use a win or six here over the last stretch where they've all of a sudden been slumping. The offense has gone freezing cold. Pitching actually has been pretty decent for the most part. It's just a matter of, you know, whether it's that timely hit, whether it's the big bop, whatever it's been, the offense has gone freezing. Pretty much coincides with Abrams and Wood not tearing the cover off the ball. And surprise, surprise, a lineup that's not very good outside of those guys struggles to score.
Yeah, they go as Wood and Abrams go. There's no doubt about that. And James Wood yesterday had three hits, hopefully a sign that he's about to get it going in a big way as they come home. But I said this at the start of the show. I really mean this. I mean, this is the biggest stretch of their season here. If they want to, number one, keep this campaign from getting off the rails, where they're 8 games under .500, and you got 7 at home coming up on this homestand against the Marlins and the Rockies. But you might also be in a situation where if it goes badly in the next 7 games and you're 2-5 or 3-4, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they would make some type of change, just because while I'm not guaranteeing they do it or saying they should, it's what happens. You know, when you're underachieving, when you say we're going to win and then you don't win, when you go through a rut, like at that point, let's just say they go 2-5 on this homestand, which I don't think they will, you're talking about them being 4-13 in June.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about them at that point being 13 games under .500 when they came into the season saying they're going to go over 500. Like, that's how people's jobs get into jeopardy. So massive series with the Marlins starting in the division, 3 games tonight. Unfortunately for them, and this was the case when they came home to kick off their last homestand against the Cubs as well, Trevor Williams is going to be on the mound, who's probably their worst starting pitcher at this point. But when Mackenzie Gore pitches on Sunday, you can't afford to lose that baseball game. And by the way, you need to support him. You need to get some hits, some runs, which they have not been able to do. But Danny, it's 2-8 in June, and they have been outscored by 23 runs, 18 scored, 41 allowed in these 10 games. By the way, they're averaging 1.8 runs per game in 10 games this month.
I didn't realize it was that. I knew it was low. I didn't realize it was that low. Yeah, I mean, you played really good teams in June. So one point is, yeah, you're playing good teams. The other point is you were supposed to be pretty good too. And it's not, you could lose some of these games, but it shouldn't look that way. So yeah, to me, it's really about finding some offense somewhere, somehow. And, you know, I understand trying to generate something. So you're getting guys thrown out at home plate, making guys make plays against you because you may not have another chance to score. But it just all of a sudden, it all looks worse when one thing's not going right, then that avalanche happens, the snowball happens, it gets bigger and bigger. Just seems like every time you get something going, that guy's thrown out at second or thrown out at home or whatever. It's just one of those funks that you're in. And it wouldn't matter that much had they not had the offseason that they had.
Speaking of tonight, Marlins Nationals, first pitch 6:45, pregame 6:15. And by the way, speaking of the Nats, Daniel Murphy, the former team legend, will be on the show with us coming up a little over 20 minutes at 5 o'clock. But I mentioned Trevor Williams. I guess he pitches tomorrow. So tonight is Mitchell Parker against Edwin Cabrera. Correct?
Yes, Parker Cabrera, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, Cabrera's a tough customer. He's got a high 3s ERA.
He's got stuff.
Got a great changeup.
Yeah.
Really, really good, you know, power stuff as well. But Parker has been interesting. His first innings have been a debacle. Like, they have been really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he gets his act together, and innings 2-5 have been pretty competitive and decent. For the year, he's got a 4-3 ERA. He is a back-of-the-rotation type starter. That's how he's pitched for the most part. Doesn't strike anybody out. 47 Ks, 71 innings. But they need to figure out a way to get him through these first innings without having such problems. He gets blown up in these innings, and next thing you know, you're 3-4 runs down before the game even starts. So that's going to be the key tonight. Watch that first inning. Can he get through the top of the order against the Marlins? That's Edwards, who's actually, you know, Payne, he hits over 270, has a lot of multi-hit games, has
player.
A ton of speed. Ramirez, Lopez, 1-2-3. If he can get through the first inning clean, generally he can give you at least 5, sometimes 6 innings at a time.
Let's talk about the local 53, please. Minicamp in the rearview mirror, GP. I mean, the biggest storyline, I guess, still remains Terry McLaurin, but just sort of thinking about the formation of the roster, do you still think there are TBDs? Like, are there still some places where they might go add a veteran or two, or is that just training camp type stuff?
Without an injury, I could see them adding an edge still. I think those veterans that haven't signed, they're just waiting around and sitting around toward closer to camp. That would make sense to me. Wide receiver now because of the Noah Brown injury. I think a veteran wide receiver of the Brown ilk, somebody with some size who plays on the outside on the boundary, I think that would make a little bit of sense. But otherwise, no, I think they like their guys. I think they're ready to rock and roll with the group that they put together.
Yeah, I do too. I watched running backs go off the board for that much money. I'm going, oh, that guy too. Yeah, oh,
Nick
that guy's
Chubb
gone.
Found
yeah.
a home.
You know, Dobbins.
Dobbins landed a new gig.
Wouldn't have broken the bank, but yeah, the receiver spot, defensive end spot, and you know, maybe another position or two we're not even thinking of at this stage. They're relatively thin in terms of proven commodities at a few different places. Linebackers, one, I know they drafted Kane Medrano. I know we're talking about how great Jordan McGee has looked to this point, but This is a May/June time frame. Who knows if there's a veteran sort of scrolling around out there, kicking around. But I imagine it'll be different once training camp starts or once some of these late cuts happen.
Without being entirely dismissive as a member of the media myself, I think things are pretty good when the biggest stories are basically the guy that's not here who's going to sign almost inevitably and it's a lock, and whether or not a guy that's jogging in a practice against air looks fat.
Yeah.
You know, when those are the things everybody's bothered by.
It's just football stuff, dude.
Like, this is a pretty, they're in a pretty good place.
Agreed.
Now, they're about to be the chased, and they're about to have a bullseye on their back, and we'll see how they handle it. There's just nothing they can do to prove whether they'll handle it well or not until the season starts. And they're going to have to keep, most importantly, Jaden Daniels and some other guys healthy. Last year, some of the guys that I was worried about, like Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner, because of their age, were able to stay on the field. That's got to happen again to replicate last season. But in terms of right now, this moment, you compare the storylines of previous years to, like, literally people are worried about Deebo Samuel and how he looked in a video running at practice.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about practice.
Talking about practice.
Not the game.
Not a game.
Practice.
Practice.
As your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny, an ESPN analyst said that Jaden Daniels is already the best quarterback in the NFC. Do we agree? Next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You guys remember Andrew Hawkins? He was a very diminutive slot receiver, probably 5'7"-ish max, maybe 165 pounds. He had some good years, though.
You added him to your fantasy team a couple of times.
I bet you did.
Mm-hmm.
Played for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. And I remember him most for his Cincinnati Bengals days. But his best year, actually, his first year in Cleveland with the Browns. I think he had a big game here in Washington. But he caught over 60 balls for 800 yards and a couple of touchdowns. But he's turned himself into a good analyst. I generally like a lot of the points he makes. I think he's very, very smart. And he's his cerebral view of football, he's involved in these various ventures, some of the 3D technology that like Jaden Daniels uses and the VR yep. stuff. Andrew Hawkins has hands in all of that stuff. I like the guy. I think he's just a sharp dude. But I bring him up to say that he was on television on ESPN this week, and he claimed that Jaden Daniels is already the best quarterback in the NFC. This was it.
Hawk, true or false, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC.
It's true. Now, look, we have the smallest sample size of any of the top-tier NFC quarterbacks, but we all know the NFL is about trajectory, and I don't think anyone has a higher trajectory than Jaden Daniels coming into this season. The fear with rookie success is that it was a product of the element of surprise. But when you watch Jaden Daniels, his poise in big moments made him an anomaly. His ability to get through his progression and get to read 3 and 4 routinely made him an anomaly. And his ability to lift everyone on the team, every position, even the coaches. Coming into last season, we weren't raving about the weapons or the coaching, but he flipped that franchise and turned them into immediate contenders. I don't think any NFC quarterback could have did that last season.
So that's Andrew Hawkins, ESPN's Get Up. That was Mike Greenberg asking him the question. So if you look at last year's power rankings of quarterback, and there's not one de facto ranking, but by and large, what you would get in the NFC is either Jaden Daniels 1 or Jaden Daniels 2 behind Jared Goff based on 2024 performance. 71% complete for Goff, 4,900 yards, 38 touchdowns last year. And I think of his 15 picks, like 5 came in one game. He basically had a 38 touchdown, 10 pick season. You take that game out of the equation. So as an example, NFL.com ranked the top 40 quarterbacks in the league from a year ago. They had Goff 4, they had Daniels 5. Those were the top two guys in the NFC. Others in the NFC conversation from last year's performance solely, Baker Mayfield completed 72% for 4,700 yards.
He had an unbelievable year.
He threw for 43 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Now, he also had 16 picks, and he had some other turnover-worthy plays that didn't turn into picks, so he's going to keep both teams in the game. But 4,700 yards and 43 touchdowns with a new offensive coordinator.
Does that include playoffs, those numbers?
18 games. So,
yes. There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This is just last year's production for these QBs. Matthew Stafford is listed here in the top 10 as far as the NFC guys go. 18 games for him, 66%, 4,300 yards, 24 touchdowns, 8 picks, and then Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, who is the first name I think of when you say who's the best quarterback in the NFC right now, because he's the reigning Super Bowl champion. He's played in 2 recent Super Bowls and played at a high level in both. 69% passer last year, 3,600 yards, 23 touchdowns, 6 picks. Kind of a game manager, makes some big-time throws on the outside. But then you got to add in some of the rushing stuff with him as well. 800 rushing yards, 19 touchdowns, which is obviously way overinflated by the tush push, but they happened. 19 touchdowns is for a quarterback.
That ain't no joke.
And that's like all-time Hall of Fame stuff. You could throw Jordan Love in there if you want or whoever. But that, to me, is the short list. It'd be Goff, in no random order here, in no specific order, Goff, Daniels, Baker, Stafford, Hurts going into this season with maybe some Jordan Love sprinkled in.
Yeah, so it tells you a couple things. One, at first when you hear that, if you take off your burgundy glasses for a moment, right, we're talking about a guy entering his second year, where does he rank, you instinctively probably recoil and go, no, that can't be right. Well, when you start to look at the landscape, the best quarterbacks in this game are in the AFC. That's no disrespect to Jaden Daniels. That's gold jacket Pat Mahomes. That's gold jacket Josh Allen. That's gold jacket Lamar Jackson.
Joe Burrow.
And the best that are going right now all happen to be dueling it out in the AFC. Let them do that, by the way. Let's stay in the NFC for as long as possible if I'm a quarterback. But put that aside. So that's who's in the conversation. Jared Goff. To me, Hurts was the first name that I thought of. And I know it's not the traditional counting stats that we're looking at here, because his regular season totals of 2,900 yards and 18 touchdowns are frankly the type of thing we would mock. Not you and I, but one, looking at numbers, you go, were you kidding me? But part and parcel with his game is that running attack, is that 800 yards on the ground, which isn't just quarterback sneaks. It's a lot of stuff, how dynamic they are, what they can do off of it. The rushing touchdowns, et cetera, are a huge part of his game. And then you look at Goff, who's the traditional pocket passer, incredibly prolific and maybe the best situation in the sport in Detroit. That's the conversation. That's where Jaden Daniels is to me.
Would you scoff or laugh at 4,400 yards and 42 touchdowns? Because when you add in the rushing, that's what Jalen Hurts is at.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My issue with Hurts, and the reason I raise my hand and say I have probably undervalued him and I sleep on him a little bit, is he has these inexplicable ruts of like boring quarterback play where he just refuses to run, which is his secret weapon. And when he's just a pocket passer, he's pretty average. He's not bad. It's not a huge knock, by the way. Like, people can take offense if they want to. He's a pretty average pocket passer if you just take everything else away from him. And he'll just have these months where he decides that that's what he's doing. And I just always assume it's because he's hurt. And generally, people are asking him at every press conference, are you okay? Is your knee okay? Is your groin okay? Is your thigh okay? And he just plays for a month like a guy. Now, he has a bunch of touchdowns in that month on the tush push. But otherwise, it's kind of a touchdown and a pick, two touchdowns and a pick. He just does that. And those stretches, you know, we didn't see Jaden Daniels have that. We saw one three-game sequence, basically, where he was dealing with a broken rib, where he didn't play nearly at the same level. But, like, Hurts has two of those every year, it feels like. So I'll be curious to see, like, as we move forward with Jalen Hurts, if he can get rid of those, iron out those wrinkles, so to speak, or if there's more of those coming for Jaden Daniels. But I think Hurts has to be in the conversation. By the way, there's a few guys I didn't name that, if you want to look over a longer sample, probably need to be in the NFC conversation. Last year, I was just basing it on the NFL
ranking. Right, yeah.
It's like Goff, Baker, Daniels, Hurts, those guys, Matt Stafford. Here's some other guys. Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Purdy, Jordan Love.
Had a down year, okay? Brock Purdy, to me, is probably better than he played last year. Kyler Murray. Now, I've never been a huge Kyler guy, but I think Kyler Murray is in the conversation when he's 72 and sunny and he's playing at a high level for being like a top 3-5 guy in the conference, maybe. And then the other one would be Dak. Obviously, last year wasn't fully healthy, so he's not going to rank near the top of the NFC board coming out of 2024. But Dak Prescott is one of the better quarterbacks in the conference, probably. So,
oh, he is, yeah.
But you're right. I mean, all the best, the elites, are in the AFC. So, point being, it is not a stretch at all to say Jaden Daniels, with one more season like last year, could go into next year as the unquestioned best QB in the NFC. If he repeats last season and he's 2-for-2 at that level as a guy just a hair outside of the MVP conversation, but one of the best players in the league, he will go into next year batting 1,000, and that means you become head and shoulders above kind of the rest of the conference and maybe on the back end of that AFC conversation to crack that NFL Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I mean, you'd expect a little bit of just natural touchdown pass growth, right? Just, I think there was a little bit, was bad luck for a while last year. Remember, his first touchdown pass was to Trent Scott, for goodness sakes. Like, it was getting tackled at the one or the two, or they were running it in or whatever. Yeah, so, you know, some of those things, you really played this last year the same way. He could have been at 30 touchdown passes with some of the same rushing aptitude. So you're talking about, you know, nearly 45, 46, 4,700 total yards, almost 40 touchdowns, you know, low teens in terms of interceptions and turnovers, then you get to be number one, in my view, right? As with team success that follows it. But the point is, he's in that discussion, and it's very reasonable to make the case that Andrew Hawkins made. I love that.
The Nats are celebrating 20 years of Nationals baseball all season long, and they're bringing back some of the legends the team has had. Daniel Murphy spent two full seasons in Washington and led the league in doubles in both of those years. In fact, he led the league in slug and in OPS in one of his 2 years with the Nationals when he finished. I don't even remember it being like this. He was the runner-up for the MVP award.
Number two in the MVP award.
In 2016.
Uh-huh.
I remember he had a great year. I don't remember him being the runner-up.
347?
Yes, he did. With a 985 ops, the runner-up for the Most Valuable Player award. That is wild. He will join us next on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.